at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people call our healthcare system broken. And I say very frequently, it's not broken. If you look at who benefits from the system continuing as it is, you'll recognize the traditional broker benefits from inflating costs, the insurance companies benefit from inflating costs, the drug companies and the PBMs all benefit from inflating costs. And those are the entities that employers trust to manage this expense. And so we wonder why costs keep going up, but everyone we entrust to manage it makes more money as costs actually go up. So it's really not broken. It's working exactly as it was intended. But the challenge is when you take a contrarian stance to that model, when you, you know, for me, it was really starting to recognize what these increases in premiums and deductibles were doing to the lowest paid employees at the company, which, to be honest with you, for the first 15 years of my career, I didn't even really consider because they weren't involved in the decision-making process. They weren't the ones that determined if I got the business or not. It was the highest paid people. And it was easy to throw a $5,000 deductible on someone making $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 a year. But I couldn't do it anymore. And I started to empathize more and more with those lowest paid employees. And so I took this stance that was contrary to how 99% of brokers make money, contrary to how every insurance company makes money. And not a lot of people were willing to join me at first. And
welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, social friends, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin'. That is hashtag for Rockstars Rockin'. And boy, am I with another incredible rock star. In fact, I might even add, this is the rock star of all rock stars, even more than I always usually say. For those of you that don't already know my guest, David Contorno. David is the CEO of ePowered Benefits, a national benefits firm that is coast to coast, baby. This guy's got offices in Oregon, the Carolinas, and he's got business all over the country, or every state, probably all over the world soon to be, if not already. And guys, if you don't already know David, which I'd be shocked if you didn't already know David, he is somewhat known for being, how do I say this, David? A little bit controversial. And some other choice words that anybody might want to fill in there. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you, man. My pleasure. So, guys, I saw David. Let me just tell you, I've seen David speak multiple times at a tremendous number of industry conferences that we both attend on a regular basis. But the one that really got me moving, the one that got me going the most was when I had the privilege and pleasure of seeing David deliver a keynote following Damon John, believe it or not, Shark Tank Damon John, at a conference that we were both at in January, the Ascend Conference, where David shared the main stage following him and closed out the entire conference. And the topic of this keynote, I mean, guys, if you can picture a room almost standing room only. I mean, there was hundreds and hundreds of advisors and brokers and carriers in that room. David's topic was really passionate, but it was passionate for the fact that he's so passionate about how what he's doing in the benefits world is very controversial to a lot, but it's very lonely to him. And David, I'll leave it at that. I'll let you elaborate if you can a little bit, because you're so passionate about going after what you want and what you believe in. But tell us, why is it so lonely and how can others get involved?
Well, I think it's a lot less lonely now than it was a few years ago. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people call our healthcare system broken. And I say very frequently, it's not broken. If you look at who benefits from the system continuing as it is, you'll recognize the traditional broker benefits from inflating costs, the insurance companies benefit from inflating costs, the drug companies and the PBMs all benefit from inflating costs. And those are the entities that employers trust to manage this expense. And so we wonder why costs keep going up, but everyone we entrust to manage it makes more money as costs actually go up. So it's really not broken. It's working exactly as it was intended. But the challenge is when you take a contrarian stance to that model, when you, you know, for me, it was really starting to recognize what these increases in premiums and deductibles were doing to the lowest paid employees at the company, which, to be honest with you, for the first 15 years of my career, I didn't even really consider because they weren't involved in the decision-making process. They weren't the ones that determined if I got the business or not. It was the highest paid people. And it was easy to throw a $5,000 deductible on someone making $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 a year. But I couldn't do it anymore. And I started to empathize more and more with those lowest paid employees. And so I took this stance that was contrary to how 99% of brokers make money, contrary to how every insurance company makes money. And not a lot of people were willing to join me at first. And it started to build a little traction, but it was really when I met Emma, who's my partner in both life and business, where, you know, I had someone to hold hands with and you know, push it back against and say, look, this is the right thing to do and here's why. And she even helped me take a message that was less controversial and more collaborative and inclusive. And that's sort of why we've found ourselves where about half of our business and time is quote unquote co-consulting with brokers and consultants around the country to help them be less afraid in going down this path.
So I like how you said that, because I do know for a fact you've been working on that for years, and I know you've increased it and you have a passion about helping others. Talk a little bit about how you're helping other advisors or brokers or consultants or whatever fancy title they want to give themselves. And frankly, transparently talk about how that works for you, because I know you love coaching and mentoring, but you know, you have bills to pay just like they do.
Yeah, I mean, so I teach the way I learn. And I don't learn by having, you know, just someone give me an instruction sheet and a step-by-step. I have to see it and understand it and believe it, the whole process and the outcomes. It has to make sense to me that this is going to work. It's part of why I got frustrated with this insurance, because here these costs kept going up and everyone kept pointing the fingers at everyone else. And I just wanted to know why, like why specifically, where, how. And when I started to ask those questions, that's when I started to realize there's an alternative way of doing this that doesn't have those perverse incentives. And so the way that we work with brokers and consultants for the most part is we literally say, listen, at least for the first few, get us involved from the prospect stage, you know, get us involved very early on, because laying that message, the groundwork first as to why this is necessary, why you've been getting the results you're getting is difficult, but you need to do that in order to get the yes from the employer. So we help them get the yes, then we help them put the financial projections together, then we help them execute on the employees and the education, help them execute on the implementation, and really we recommend a payment model where it takes commission and turns it around. Instead of commission or any bonuses, we only collect a flat fee from the employer, and then we typically have a bonus that comes from the employer tied to reaching certain goals. For most employers, that's lowering costs. So, and we contractually obligate ourselves to that being the only source of revenue. There's no bonuses from carriers. There's no commissions or overrides on stop loss. We don't take any of that. So we have true aligned incentives. And so what we say to these co-consultants is, let us help you soup to nuts for the first few cases. We'll help you drive that performance bonus every year, next year, the year after, the year after that. We'll help you deal with when large claims pop up, lasers, all the pitfalls of a self-funded plan, or any plan in many cases. And we take a piece of the revenue that's generated. They generally keep the bulk of it, but they're doing the bulk of the on-the-ground work. And you know, the intent here is to get them to the point where they don't need us anymore. And for some consultants, that's 3 cases. For some, it's 10. But once they get to the point where they don't need us anymore, they go on and continue everything we did together on their own. We don't even take a piece of that future business, just the ones that we touched. And I say to those consultants, in exchange, I ask for 2 things. Number one, when you feel that you're good enough at doing this to teach someone else, that you spread the word and you teach them the way we taught you. And the second thing is, if you learn anything new along the way, and I expect you to, teach it back to me.
That's fair. I like that. I never heard that part of it. I knew the first part, but that's a good way to put it. And hopefully you've been doing it for so long now. Hopefully you have had people come to you with an idea or two that maybe you've been able to implement in some capacity.
We have. Yep, absolutely.
So let me ask you a question when it comes to the employee benefits industry. Here we are we're recording this in June of 2020, full disclosure. I'm not sure when it'll get aired, but where do you see our industry going with respect? I know it's a broad question, right? But where do you, if you could pick up your magic crystal ball today, what do you think is going to happen? We're dealing with COVID, we're dealing with riots, we're dealing with protests right now. Remember, this is June of 2020. what's happening in the on the horizon for this year's big open enrollment season and the future?
One of the interesting dynamics, and I think both the financial pressure reaching this boiling point and COVID as well, our pipeline at ePowered is filled with much larger prospects than we're used to having. Companies that are publicly traded, thousands or tens of thousands of employees are in our pipeline. And I think the reason for that is a couple fold. You know, number one, some of those big companies were just hurt so badly financially, but not enough to close their doors. So it's like American Airlines is losing, I forget what the number is, but hundreds of millions of dollars a day, but they make too much money and they're too important to shut down, right? So they just have to sit there and bleed for a while. And so I think these larger companies were in a similar boat, number one, whereas smaller companies could act quicker, they could stem the bleeding, they could close their doors and go out of business. But number two, you know, the average HR and finance person at a larger company is frankly a little more sophisticated and a little more long-term thinking than at the smaller companies. And so they're already thinking post-pandemic, right? Whereas the smaller companies are just, if my renewal's next month, I'm just going to keep it as it is because I don't know what anything's going to bring. But the larger companies are already thinking 2021, 2022. And so it allows them to say, whoa, what is this effect of COVID going to be? I mean, you know, I really, the carriers are already using it as fodder to say, expect bigger rate increases next year. At the same time, they're telling their shareholders our profits are skyrocketing because all the elective procedures are down far more than the increase in cost in COVID. And then at the same time, they're asking the government for bailout money. So it's like they're talking out of all sides of their, you know what. But at the end of the day, the consumer and the employer is not going to win. They never have, and they never will in this environment. So I think a lot of employers are realizing that. And, you know, my fear is if we don't fix this aggressively, quickly, then everyone's going to just throw their hands up and the government's going to take over. And, you know, Medicare for half the country right now is a disaster. What happens when it's 100%? And just to give you some numbers, 50% of tax dollars go to healthcare. And 50% of Americans are covered by a government-sponsored plan. That means if 100% of Americans were covered by it, then 100% of our tax dollars would go to healthcare. How do we pay for literally anything else, including the trillions of dollars we just spent in stimulus?
It's mind-blowing. Yeah, no doubt. Well, listen, as we wrap up here, rumor on the street is that a little-known fact about David is, David, is it true that you're you went to college for photography of all things, that you actually majored in photography? And by the way, is that even legit? Is that real? Is that a real school? Like, my God, I don't even know what that means.
So yes, I was very much into photography in high school. I had my own dark room at my father's house. I was definitely on the geeky side for sure. And then I wound up going to Rochester Institute of Technology, and I majored in something called photographic technology, which there's only two schools in the world that offer it. I didn't graduate. I was there for a year, but we do in the first year what the regular photo majors do in all 4 years. And had I stayed, we would have gotten into like satellite imagery and holography. Wow. And I'd probably be working for the government now if I stayed that path. But I realized for me, it was more of a hobby. And I still love it to this day. I actually bought myself a new drone yesterday. You know, between the drone is like this big, you can take it anywhere. Between that and my phone, I mean, I have a portable photo and video studio anywhere I go, everywhere I go. It's absolutely amazing, whether it's personal pictures of the kids and the family, or it's professional photos and videos and clips for you know, helping to empower the industry. It's so easy to produce that kind of content now.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. That's really cool. I didn't know that about the photography studying. And I did know that you had a drone, though. I have the privilege of seeing you and your lovely partner there, Emma, on Instagram and Snapchat stories and so forth. When are you going to get into that? Come on, man. You got to up your social media game.
She does get on me for not using Instagram frequently. I don't even think of it. I mean, to me, I get sucked into Facebook and LinkedIn as it is. I don't need more platforms in which to waste time.
Fair enough. And you're just recently back in on both of them, but definitely Facebook. So listen, David, I appreciate your time, my friend. You've said it all. I mean, there's literally nothing left to talk about. You have said it all, my friend. For those folks that don't know you and don't know how to reach you, tell everybody how to reach the David Contorno.
I think the best thing is get me through LinkedIn. I definitely want to connect with as many people. It's where I put most of the professional content out. Some of it very controversial. Some of it will probably piss some listeners off, and some of it will get them to cheer, and say hear, hear, amen. So, but that's part of what I do. You know, I realize that people don't change until the pain of change outweighs the pain of staying the same. And you have to sometimes speak them into that point to say, let's change this. Let's fix this. We can do it.
I agree. And what's your website, David?
Epowerbenefits.com.
Epowerbenefits.com. Okay, guys. Well, listen, this has been another Rockstar Rockin' episode. And David Contorno, I appreciate your time. For those of you that have questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, you love it, you hate it, you're in the middle, you have anything controversial or non-controversial, don't be shy. We love it. I love it. I know David does too. Comment. I'm sure the comment box is somewhere around our heads, depending on the platform you're listening to or watching this on. If you downloaded it on a podcast, iTunes, Spotify, etc., same thing. Don't be shy. Feel free to comment accordingly. And until next time, as I always say, right? Don't just have a great day. Nobody wants to have a great day. You can't have a great day. You want to make it a great day. Thanks, David.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rock stars, keep rocking.